This is RSBNB Update, episode 438, recorded Saturday, November 9th, 2013. Read my Bible. Hello, everybody, and thank you for sitting in with us on this week's RSBNB Update episode. We're kind of late, but it's late for a good reason. This week, joining us is Alex, 43, from Informer, who actually went to RuneFest this year. So say hello, Alex.
That's right. I did. I went to RuneFest. Hello, everybody who didn't go to RuneFest. I am Alex, 43. Glad to meet you.
All right. Also, as usual, Trekkie is here.
Hi, everybody.
And just me, Shane12088. So, let us begin with this week's update discussion. This week's update is the D&D Tracker. So, this is a little update for that Adventures tab that looks like the old quest icon. Basically, you go into the Minigames tab, and then you can now sort it, and it'll show you exactly when these are available for play. And pretty much every minigame, every distraction and diversion is covered here. If you want to go play Stealing Creation, you can just click it, then it'll teleport you to the nearest lodestone. If you're looking for familiarization, it'll say when the next familiarization starts. It'll teleport you to exactly where you can go for that. Another one that Trekkie and I are both happy with is the Dungeoneering Sinkholes. So,
actually, I've been doing a little bit of Tears of Gothics as well.
Yeah, there you go. It's for that as well. So Alex, what do you think of the D&D Tracker? Good update? Absolutely required? Not required?
If I had to go, I'd say it was required. It's a good update. It's a good idea. I mean, there's lots of D&Ds out there, and because some of them only happen like once a week, it's easy to forget which ones are active and which ones aren't, as well as you don't know when they start becoming, when they're suddenly active again. So sometimes that would happen to me. I would go online like a week later and I head down the Tears of Gothics, and then Juno says, you still got 2 hours before I can let you in. I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
So I have to wait two hours, but usually I don't have that time.
I think that's where it makes most sense is for the longer ones. Because, for example, you have the Tears of Gothics, which is 1 week, but you got Troll Invasion, which is 1 month, as well as the statues. So, I mean,
especially those you don't know when they're going to reappear.
Yeah, it makes sense for those, because it's harder to keep track of how long exactly it takes when you're just around doing basic things. But that's basically all there is to this update. It's just a list of saying when you can access certain D&Ds. Trekkie, do you have anything?
It also serves as a good reminder as to which D&Ds are out there that you can access.
I like it because it kind of gives me a reason to do the circus more, because I want to get my range up a little bit higher. So I just pop into it like, oh, okay, take me there. Oh, I don't have to go around and look for it, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
Usually I have to find one. I have to find a fairy and tell me where it is and try to figure out where it is. But usually I can figure it out, but it's still nice to say, take me there. Okay.
All right. As Alex said, you can find new D&Ds through this. So I guess it's a good promotion for all the D&Ds that exist in RuneScape. So if you haven't tried them, just give them a try. But also this week on the Squeal of Fortune, whenever you turn in a challenge at the Quartermaster, you know, those daily challenges, you get complimentary D&D tokens every day for a week after it's released. So we're a couple days past when it was released, but if you're listening to this on the weekend, you still do have a couple days. So each day he'll give you a daily token for the D&D of your choice and a token for a randomly chosen D&D. So basically, is this how you did 4 sinkholes in one day?
Yeah, I did the two that I can get automatically every single day, and I use one of the daily ones, and I chose a sinkhole because all the other ones I don't care about, and I got 4. I was like, cool, and I got a total around, let's see, probably like 450 50k experience.
Yeah, so sinkholes are OP, so I'll just say that once again, seeing as I said that for the past 3 weeks. But anyways, so that's pretty much the D&D tracker update for this week. Let's move on to the release notes, which I apparently forgot to link, which is unfortunate. But we'll just skip over that for the time being, unless I can find him right away. And oh yeah, looks like I have. So... let's see, not many changes this week pertaining to other things. Mainly graphical changes, for example, a Barbarian Champion's defend animation, white texture on Crystal Tree and minimum detail has been corrected, camera-related issues to the God Wars dungeon have been fixed, and then some quest ones. So really not that many this week, so that's probably why I didn't link it, but... nonetheless, so let's just move on, shall we, to talk about the Well of Goodwill and how that exactly is going. So how much money has been donated to this?
Almost $200 billion, unless it already went up that when I checked it yesterday.
Yeah, it's at 205 right now, actually. I just checked.
Ooh, that's nice.
So that's a quarter
of
what...
there's high scores.
Hmm?
There's high scores going on right now.
Yeah, that's a quarter of what
highest
they're going for.
Highest score was though.
The total. It's like 7 million coins.
No, that's 7 billion.
Oh, 7 billion.
Wow.
That's also nice.
Yep, so there's that. So
the current total is 205 billion.
And plus, there's also bonds that have been donated. So 4,222 bonds. Currently leading is someone who's donated 1,000 bonds, McGrady013. Followed by 314 bonds, and then 269 bonds. So people are definitely taking advantage of this, and I imagine we're up well past the $30,000 range, seeing as you can't really check easily here. So that's good. Always nice for charity, eh?
Oh, yeah. Especially you play the game for charity. That's beautiful.
Yep. All right, so
all games should do that.
This next part is the behind the scenes video for the Rise of Six, which is the Barrows update that's coming this month, which Alex played through a bit at RuneFest, but we'll get to that in just a little bit. So I'm going to tell everybody who hasn't been to RuneFest to go watch this video and see what the updated Barrows area looks like, see what the new content looks like, and get some insight into what the rewards are going to be. But
for the record, I'm not in that video.
No, you're not. Yeah,
say what?
That's unfortunate.
No, I wasn't in that video. Oh well.
I actually did see that that they had players at RuneFest who were in there. That's too bad you weren't, because that would have been an interesting cameo.
I did play it for a while though. It's just they recorded it sort of, I guess, in the middle of the day or so, and I played it earlier on when there was like nobody there.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
it was fun though. I mean, it's really good. It's a good.
So next up, heading on to the RuneFest stuff, is the Community Roundup RuneFest Edition. So there's a whole bunch of things you can do related to RuneFest. So first up, they have a list of all of the live streams that they ran during that day. So even if you weren't at RuneFest, you do have the ability to watch all these streams, which I would highly recommend. I watched most of them, most of the main sessions, so that was fun. Also, I guess now would be a good time. So, Alex, tell us about this Guinness World Record attempt.
All right. So basically what they did was they were after the last, I guess, convention, whatever, they had everybody line up, and they had the entire community or as many people as they could gather in. And we pretty well took almost like 20 minutes to fill everything up. And Maud was on the stage, he's saying, "You'll see a cracker on the seat. Please do not touch your cracker. Please do not even look at your cracker." The way he said it, it sounds so funny. And so we were basically lining up. There was a cracker on the seat. We were not allowed to touch it. We just had to stand there. And if you think organizing clans on RuneScape is difficult, you got people chatting and stuff like that, doing random stuff. Trying to organize 600 people in the convention hall was insanely difficult to do. It's like everybody's all doing sort of their own thing. And he has to say it like every time somebody walks in, because the person who walks in doesn't hear it.
All right.
And so the stress was on that we were not allowed to touch our cracker. How much do you want me to talk about this one?
Well, just tell me, basically. So after you got into the room, how exactly did you orchestrate this longest cracker? Like, was it in the lineup?
Well, we had a lady from Guinness World Records come in, and she basically explained how the chain worked. And what we did was we each took our cracker. We grabbed the end of the person next to us, and the ends of the row, they had to grab the cracker of the person behind them or in front of them or whatever. And so we were all literally linked together by a whole ton of crackers, Christmas crackers. And then they had like an air horn that when it blew, we were all supposed to pull the crackers simultaneously. Because originally we thought that we were supposed to pull like one at a time and create like an epic chain of crackers, but apparently it counted if we just all did it at the same time. So I was a little disappointed there because I thought we really could have done it because everybody was on par at the time. And so what happens, he shouts 3, 2, 1, he presses the button, the air horn does not go off because he forgot to take the safety off, but we all pulled anyways. So we all yanked, there's like a firecracker went off in the room, like and after like I guess 5 seconds it was all done. We had all pulled our crackers, and of course there's stuff inside the crackers, like they had like a bunch of party hats. And so if you will have noticed, if there's a picture, you'll see that the RuneScape economy crashed because everybody's got party hats now.
Oh, that's great.
And then we were supposed to, it was important that we not move after having pulled the cracker. So we had to sit there for, I guess, 20 minutes while one of the mods attempted to entertain us. And then finally, the lady came in and she said, your previous record was 566. And though they had to disqualify somebody for moving, we still topped it off at 603, breaking the record.
Nice.
And so we all were, yeah, it was awesome.
So that is how the Guinness World Record attempt at the longest Christmas cracker pull worked. Do you have any questions about that?
How many party hats did you get?
There's two in every cracker.
And I assume
603 times 2 is 1,206 party hats in the economy.
I assume that these were not party hats that you could redeem in RuneScape.
No. They were like actual physical paper party hats. You know, the kind that are worth like 0 gold.
Right. All right.
Shame, though, but hey, that's been funny. Like, everybody who attends RuneFest, you get a free party hat. Crash the economy, why not?
So there's that, and there's also a whole... Oh, what'd you have to say, Trekkie?
Oh, no, nothing.
All right.
He was clearing his throat. It was too much awesome for him to take.
So there's also JMod testimonials on here about what exactly they thought about RuneFest, so you can read those on your own time. But there was something that we took great joy in last year when Player Owned Ports came out, and that was the Get 'em Back to Ports song. And they actually did one of these live at RuneFest. So did you watch this performance there?
I did not, but I saw the prop. So they definitely did the performance out there.
All right. I'll just
in fact, I actually heard it, and I heard them sing it like upstairs, but I didn't actually go and check it out.
God.
So,
oh God!
What? You know,
Alex, don't you start. If you get it, that sounds like in my head, I'm gonna kill you.
It's a catchy song, even without the lyrics.
You know, that reminds me. I gotta check my ports after we're done here.
That's a good idea.
So you can see exactly all the videos and the video song there on the community roundup for this week. But now let's actually just talk a bit about RuneFest. Do you have any questions for Alex?
Did you enjoy your time there?
I did very much so. It was awesome. If I get an opportunity to go back next year, I'm definitely going to do it. Hopefully I'll be able to take Shane with me this time. Because I think he'll enjoy it very much too.
All right.
So, did you get any behind this like VIP treatment while you were there?
The areas where if they had like an area where you were able to sit down with Jagex mods and just chat with them, just sit down on the couch or whatever, and I guess enjoy it. And there was really not that many people there. Like there wasn't a big line, but just basically walk in, walk out. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I imagine it might be the celebrity thing going on there, where you know people always want to meet these celebrities and famous people, but when they have the chance, they don't.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's just so much to do at the RuneFest that I really didn't actually have time to do any of it because I was all going around checking out everything else. All so right. Again, that's why I wanted to go. Next time I go, there's going to be, I guess, a lot less for me to do. So I'll put more priority into actually chatting with the J-Mods and getting to know them. Make some friends, you know.
Any other questions for Alex here?
No, that's it for now. We'll talk more later on.
Well, we'll see if these bring up any things. But for those of you guys who are not aware, while Alex was gone, he was tweeting his adventures on Twitter, and I promoted a bunch of them on the RSBNB Twitter. So as I said last week, if you want to see exactly some of the things that were tweeted, just follow RSBNB staff, or even better yet, just follow Alex at Alicyte. So I'm going to start off with
A-L-L-E-C-Y-T-E.
Okay, good. Thank you for clearing that up. I'm going to start off with one of the first things that I saw. In the lineup, you posted a picture of what the lineup looked like. And so tell exactly what the atmosphere in the lineup was like.
It was fairly casual. Like, if you just wandered around, you wouldn't even know that these guys were escape. Like, there's a few guys with costumes here and there, but everybody else was actually quite casual about it.
All right.
Some of us did talk a little bit about RuneScape, but I don't know. It almost seemed like just a regular bunch of people, really.
I
there was not these heated discussions. There was not this big clan getting together and going crazy, but
I noticed it was in some other pictures in the lineup. There was a picture of two god swords being dueled, a Bandos and an Armadil godsword with Mod Mark.
Yeah, Mod Mark was walking around with the two god swords. People were calling him out for hacking. And he had that big giant blue dragon walking around with him. And so what he was doing was, because they were taking a while to get everything set up because we were supposed to be in at about 10 o'clock, but there were some technical difficulties, so he started walking around with the blue dragon offering opportunities. So some of the guys in the line did that. They grabbed the swords from him and then started posing or whatever. I personally did a fist bump with the blue dragon.
Nice.
Got a picture of that. Don't know why I did not tweet it though.
Okay. So
yeah, I'll send it to you guys.
So after you got in, there was another thing that came up. Hugging a tree.
Yeah, I hugged it. Yeah, there's like a couple of guys. We weren't sure if they were Ents, like the summoning familiar, or moss giants. They were kind of a cross mix between the both of them because they were holding like a big giant clubs. So we called them Ents. Don't know why, but yeah, one of them was wandering around and he was really in the character. And it's like, hug a tree, anyone? And I'm like, I'll do it. And I just stepped out from the crowd and I just gave him a big hug and like, there you go. And after I did it, everybody else started doing it. So yeah.
Great way to take the initiative there, Alex.
Yes, indeed. I'm very good at that now.
All right. So after you got in, what sessions did you attend during the day?
Oh, boy. Let's see. So I started off by familiarizing myself with the layout. Like, what you initially did was, when you first walked in, you get a swag bag of stuff, and that includes sort of the itinerary, like where everything is and stuff, and that's just something you wore around your neck. And so I was just going around seeing what was available and stuff. And what they had was the action activity where you ran around doing various activities and collected tokens based off of RuneScape skills. For example, Divination had this thing where you step into a wind tunnel and you have to grab these light-colored tags and avoid the blue ones. And if you can grab like 5 in 20 seconds, you get a token for Divination.
What did the live construction scaling consist of?
That was actually ice carving, believe it or not. Like, they actually brought in these big giant blocks of ice and you wore gloves and chisel stuff and you tried to carve out the RuneFest dragon logo.
Okay.
So that was really cool. And the best one was put up on display.
Nice.
Did you try it?
I did indeed, but the block I got because they were sort of reusing it, was actually kind of mangled up. And so what I did was I just tried to get into a regular dragon, like without a few of the horns. My brother came over and he tried it out as well. And I left him to his devices because I'd already been at for like half an hour and my hands were getting cold. And when he came back, he said he'd made this Liske symbol.
That does seem to be the theme that things are going for now.
Yes, indeed.
So, did you go to any of the insider sessions? I'm going to just name them off, and you tell me if you went to them.
Please do. Please
celebrating story.
Remember my love. No.
Big questions.
Yes.
Ideas for the future.
No.
Ask us almost anything.
No.
Rune Quiz 2013.
Nope.
RuneScape 2014?
Yes.
The Golden Gnome Awards?
No.
The Old School Assembly?
I'm going to say no to that one.
Leveling Up RuneScape Soundtrack?
Nope.
Invent an Idea
Workshop? Again, there's a lot to do. Invent an Idea? No.
The Evolution of PvP?
No.
Old Content, Your Ideas?
Yes.
A Window into Jagex?
I think I saw the last half of that one.
All right. And the final verdicts, Dragons Decide?
I saw that one.
All right. Yeah, so definitely. I'm going to ask you about Old Content, Your Ideas, because before... you mentioned specifically pertaining to this that it kind of went off the rails, didn't it? So tell us about that one.
Oh, boy. Is it too late to change my answer? Because
yep.
I'm trying to remember which one it was that I actually went to. Like, you went to the, like, these are the smaller ones, right?
Yeah, these are the smaller ones on the second
stage.
There's
like the mini conventions aside from the big ones.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, because I, truth be told, the mini ones, I only went to the big questions one and the...
All right.
The big questions one was in the big seminar, but the mini one, I did not... The only mini one I went to was the Dragons Aside one.
Oh, all right, then that's fine.
So I'm sorry. Again, there was a lot to do there, and that's why I want to go again.
All right, so what was your favorite session?
I'm less distracted by the old, like, computers and stuff.
What was your favorite session?
Favorite session? Oh, boy. The Dragon's Aside one was kind of fun, but...
What did that one consist of?
Basically, what happened was there were four players who had their ideas, and they basically pitched them to five Jagex mods, sort of Dragon's Den style. They did. They have 3 minutes to pitch their ideas, and then the dragons, per se, were either in or out, and they explained why, and whoever got the most ins actually gets their idea put on game.
Nice.
And these are very, very simple ideas. Like the one who won, for example, spoiler alert, was the guy who suggested a hardcore mode for Barbarian Assault.
That would be cool.
Yep. And again, very simple ideas. And there's like a lot of yeah, yeahs and noes.
Okay.
And there's one particular mod who said no to everything.
You know what my idea would be for that, right?
What? The farming update?
Hardcore well, farming, no, not or... necessarily farming. it would be to, well, it might
you
be going
crossbows.
Kind of big, but it would be to make a sequel to the Captain Picard quest.
Of course.
Well, oh, the aviation one, the balloon one.
Yes, that one.
Uh-huh. Ah.
So
we'd have to be able to pitch it for 3 minutes, like explain why it's a good idea and what they would get out of it.
Yeah, that
was one of the
fun
mods was a graphic designer, and so his consistent question was, "What do I get out of this? I need to have something to design, right?"
Right. Okay.
And you have to answer that. So, what would they be designing? Like, well, design all these whole new, crazy balloon sort of aircraft that you can use to fly around RuneScape, and you can also design these awesome skyboxes. So that would have been one in. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Think you would have liked
that. So that was your favorite session, the Dragons Decide one, then.
Yeah, that was actually, it was fun, per se. It was a fun one, like, as opposed to the ones you just basically listen to and you are informed, you're like, oh, that's interesting. This one was actually kind of fun.
All right. So,
my brother went to a lot more of the sessions, so maybe
we should have had him on
time,
for that reason.
You want me to go get him? Like, I can go
well,
get him if you want.
Only if we can get him on a good microphone. So,
He did give me some notes, though. He gave me notes on RuneScape 2014.
Oh, okay. And let's talk about that then.
Yep. All right.
So RuneScape
2014.
So tell us about this one. Like, just give us a
this
brief
one,
rundown.
Well, they started off, I guess they started off with the best, is the revelation of the new skill, which is Inventor. And apparently what you do is you use, like, divine energy and whatnot to amplify other things, he said. Like, you can create contraptions and widgets and stuff like that, and it's very good for supporting production skills like woodcutting and mining and stuff. So basically, I guess with Inventor, you can create, like, jackhammers or whatever using divination to power it.
And the thing that really got me with this one is this is where they said you're going to be able to design your own weapon, per se, and have it level up with you, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
That sounds pretty exciting, doesn't it?
Now, I just want to say something here. Yep. We nailed this as the second
you
skill
did indeed.
After Divination came out.
You did indeed.
Yeah, so, we get high five.
Yeah, I'm very happy that we were able to predict this. So props to us for doing that.
Yeah. Sorry I doubted you.
Oh, you were on that episode, were you?
I was. Remember how I suggested my idea was like world hopping or jumping like that, where you use divination to traverse the different worlds and you figure out the histories behind them and you find out more about the other gods?
Ah, okay. All right.
Nope.
That was my idea. That was a cool idea, but you would have to create a lot of worlds.
So there's the Inventor skill. What else?
What else? Let's see. Two-hander level 90 weapons, like the repeater crossbow.
All right. Let's.
I guess these are examples for the...
Let's just go quickly through the list, because we do have a question about this later. So let's just name all the items off that were mentioned and move on.
All right. See, combining items, inspiration, workshops, social workshops, where players get together to do inventor skills, combat enhancements, slowish levels, soul weapons, whatever that is, lightning sword, clockwork shield, items level up, you said. Like you said, the unique equipment, steam workshop. Like, not Steam, but... Yeah. And also World Event number 2, Armadillo versus Bandos.
And one of them will die.
One of them will die. I hope it's Bandos.
Yeah, me too. All right.
Towers, Battle of Olympia.
Sarah Doman.
Caravan support, attack versus defense. And it's going to just go back and forth, basically. Player versus player, caravans carrying energy. Interesting. You build golems, it's focused around Falador. And there's also mention of World Event number 3.
Any idea what that was?
Marimbo, the monkey god, versus the Brassica Prime.
Oh, really? The cabbage?
Yep. Marimbo versus Brassica Prime.
Oh, boy.
Did they have a thing against cabbages?
I imagine this one won't last very long. It's basically going to be bananas versus cabbages. Whoever picks the most bananas wins or whatever.
You're right, that is what it would turn out to be. So
yep.
Okay.
Why not? We're gonna need more banana plantations then, I guess.
Anything else?
Alright, they were planning on revamping existing minigames, like they're gonna create matchmaking systems. Players also get to pick specifically which minigames get the priority. For example, if they're gonna put up a poll, they'll say which minigame do you wanna see improved in the nearest future, and players will vote like Castle Wars, we wanna see Castle Wars improved, instead of say, okay, we'll do Castle Wars first. They're planning on doing rework with the bosses, like create all new hard modes. Especially on creatures like the giant mole, who basically becomes sort of a joke boss monster, because very few people have been fighting him and he's perhaps one of the more annoying ones because he keeps on running away. But they're going to create more of a hard mode, which is going to involve you using using skills like agility and farming or whatever to navigate the tunnels and kill him.
That would be
And
good.
There's also going to be new rewards for him as well, so it's going to be a lot more worth it to fight. And I do recall, because I actually saw most of this session, is that the giant mole, they're going to be targeting this towards middle players, like it's a middle-level player boss. So
that's
when
good.
You're kind of like half... halfway to level 99, you can fight this boss for some good rewards and stuff, and it'll help you get to the higher level so that you can fight the higher level bosses.
That's good.
They're also going to be revamping the Smoking Kills bosses that you find in the well. Like, if you remember that, you go into the Slayer well down in Podivnik, and there's those bosses that you have to fight in order to unlock the Slayer area. They're going to revamp those and let you fight them over and over again. They're going to create a player-created Kraken, I guess, where I guess basically it's like this: the design of this creature is completely player-based. They're going to bring back white dragons. We're going to learn what the story was behind them.
White dragons? Create,
like, yep. Great hide.
Blue eyes? Do they have blue eyes?
Probably.
Oh, don't be going down that route.
Oh, she actually gets that.
Yeah. Also, they didn't actually say the word itself, but they did mention that we were also going to be able to start raising undead, like creating skeletons and zombies and stuff. But they never did say the word necromancy. I totally mispronounced that word.
Necromancy? Yeah, necromancy. I don't know.
Necromancy.
All right.
Whatever.
Necromancy.
Tomato,
okay.
Tomato.
And let's see. There's also going to be quests for, as they called them, forgotten NPCs. Like, I guess, backstories for heroes like, I guess, Wally, for instance, the guy who first used Silverlight to defeat Delworth. And I guess some other forgotten NPCs out there. Like, if you were around, I guess, for RuneScape Classic or whatever, or you played some of the earlier quests a long time ago, you'll probably remember some of these NPCs. But didn't actually give us any examples, though, but that's my guess.
Speaking of quests, what about the Zaros quest and the Elf quest?
I'm getting there. Let's see. Okay. Next in the list, player-owned ports are going to be getting an update with 2 new island bases, 8 new locations.
Oh, yes.
Should I play the
3
song
new
again?
Adventurers.
Go ahead. I will kill you. No!
And there's going to be 3 new adventurers, so you got 3 more skills to train to level 90. These skills include, ready? Cooking.
Okay.
Got it.
Construction.
Got that.
Hunter.
Hell. No. Crap.
I got to train 2 of those.
I got to train Hunter like 3 levels, but yeah. Cooking and construction, I'm already ready.
All right.
So
I'll
let you guys know how they are.
Looks like I'm going to have to remodel my house.
Yep. This is also going to include 2 new types of trade goods, 2 new resources, 12 new crew kinds, 8 new parts for your ship, 62 new voyages, and you're also going to be able to create weapons, capes, and rings from these resources.
Ooh.
Yep. So that's exciting. Level 8, they're all going to be like level 85 stuff, so. Yeah.
Good.
That works for me.
So yeah, play around port stuff, get your resources ready because you're going to be creating a whole bunch of stuff now.
All right, Shane, you heard the man. Time for you to get more motivated.
All right.
And next up in the list, the moment you guys have been waiting for, the Fate of the Gods quest, starring the return of Zaros.
Yes.
All right. So basically what they did to start it off was they showed us a picture of Zaros, and they said, but the picture showed up, this is not what Zaros looks like. Only you know what Zaros looks like because the quest is going to be about you getting him a body. And based on your choices in the quest, it's going to shape up, it's going to shape Zaros' form, and he's going to be completely unique to you.
You know, I'm going to completely screw this one up, just like I screwed up Forgiveness of a Chaos Dwarf, because, or rather, Birthright of the Dwarves, because I got King Drunken Dwarf ruling. I'll probably given the body of a freaking cabbage or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I thought, though, you liked Zaros.
I do, and, I mean, I just made the wrong decisions in that quest, and, I mean, yeah. But continue.
Well, if you like, I could do the quest first and then let you know which things you can pick or whatever.
All right, continue.
You're also, during this quest, you're also going to be able to check out Freneske, which is where the Majorette came from. You can see what kind of land that is.
And that's the land of
We can start figuring out the Dragonkin, too.
Let's see, there's going to be a Valley of the Dead. There's going to be a community project, which is fairly Valley of the Dead. Okay, Valley of the Dead. It's a community project made by players, and what Jagex is going to do is they're going to get together with a bunch of, I guess, high-level player versus player, like, players, and they're actually going to get feedback from them as to what makes constitutes good player versus player action, and they're going to work together to create this Valley of the Dead, which is almost like on a different world as RuneScape. It's going to basically be sort of like Hunger Games, where you log in and you have absolutely nothing, and you salvage resources, and when you die, you basically start over.
Oh, that should
be
fun.
Or you're kicked out completely.
Maybe I should begin.
Yeah. So think like hardcore Minecraft. Like you start a new world, and when you die, it's it. Everything's
maybe
done. You lose everything.
Maybe I should start PvP in RS.
Sure. Totally all experimental, right. They said. So it might happen. It might not. I don't know what's going to go on. Let's
any
see.
Any word on redoing the prestige system?
They did mention that they weren't giving up on that. They're going to try to find a whole different angle that players might agree to.
Hmm.
They were a little disappointed that nobody liked it very much.
I
personally thought it was a very good idea.
I liked it.
Yeah. Like, I'm never going to be able to use it myself because I'm not even level 99 on my skills, but players who really want to rank themselves, they have that opportunity to do that. And they also have the opportunity to start over with a familiar character and keep all their stuff with them so they don't have to technically start all the way over again.
Yeah, exactly.
But, they also don't have to transfer all their stuff to a new character.
Yeah, this ship's already set sail, so just continue telling us about RuneScape 2014.
All right. Next up, the Skiller's boss, which is a boss that you fight without actually fighting it, similar to the Penance Queen. Where it's cooperative or solo, and you do nothing but use your skills to beat it. Like you have to make fires around it, or you have to salvage food from it and cook it or whatever, or poison it or whatever using herb lore. But yeah, you don't actually fight it. You don't fight it. You just use your skills. And of course you can die. But whoever has like more skills and stuff will last a bit longer. Although the consensus is that would you die faster if you have, say, no combat skills whatsoever? And they said, well, no, because their skills will contribute, I guess, towards your defense against this boss. So,
and if that's what they're trying to do, then it should be skills entirely. Combat should have no role.
Yeah, sounds pretty exciting, though. You got the Rite of Passage, which is the Armadillian quest, where you basically go to the Armadillo world and you do stuff. It's a sort of an origin story for Armadillo.
Good.
I'm not sure if you're gonna like or hate this, Shane, but they're gonna make a seasonal high scores, like a skill of the month, basically. Official skill of the month.
I think that's a good idea. I also watched this session, and I can say that kind of if it was broken down into regional groups, say Canada or something, and there was one thing to see how you could do in a month of farming, that would kind of suit my appetite for that, as well as maybe working to be the best farmer in Canada. That could be something I could try. So,
best farmer in Canada. Canadians have green thumbs up there with no sun.
Oh, yeah. A whole bunch of agriculture goes on here. But anyways, continue.
All right, let's see. They're going to be creating what they call the Church of You, where basically, since you are so awesome in the game, I mean, you're like the big hero, you're the big cheese, you've done so many crazy quests, you have witnessed Guthix's death, you've gotten all of his powers, you have faced off against the gods and stuff, and you're basically death's best friend. He keeps on resurrecting you after you die. That there's going to be basically a religion of you. You're going to get your own church, you're going to get your own fan club and stuff.
It's totally awesome.
It's basically going to be an extension of the Kingdom of Miscellanea, where these guys, they all gather resources and stuff for you, and you have to show them how awesome you are all the time.
See, I said this after the world wakes. Just make the player a god or a demigod or something, a tier 7 god, something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it did. That's exactly what we're going to do. Player own church. Enjoy. You deserve it. Your fault.
All right.
And that's it for the notes.
I need to write the Bible now.
Create your own Bible. Why not?
Yep. My version.
Just make sure that... Just make sure
Friday,
when...
I was going to say, on every Friday, thou must eat fish.
Just make sure
fish
that
good
when
for the brain.
when the higher up gods send you messages through vision that you follow them or else bad things will happen.
Yeah.
All right. So you didn't mention the elf quest. That was in that session too.
That? Yeah, it was, wasn't it? I didn't write a note of that one.
So the elf quest could potentially be the 200th quest.
Yep. However, they
quest
did mention
191
that if they
right
could,
now.
Yep. They did mention that if they could do it earlier, then they will. But their aim is to make this quest number 200. It's going to be a Grandmaster quest, the final one in the series, and you're going to get to resurrect the city, and in doing so, you get to revive Saren, the elf god.
Well, how does that feel?
That's exciting.
Okay. How does it feel?
You get to revive
it's finally on the radar.
Yep.
And I hope that I can overthrow the king of Ardonye.
Yeah, Lathis goes down.
Yeah, I mean,
It's also going to acknowledge what this dark force is. Dark forces are coming down because they were mentioning. Because remember, at you go to Tyrus' camp, they're mentioning that leave now while everything's okay. There's nothing to stop.
Interesting.
The dark forces from coming in. Like they refer to it as a dark lord, I believe, but something tells me it's not Zamorak.
No, be Sliske. Perhaps.
You think it's Sliske?
Yeah.
Sliske versus Saren. It's going to be world event number four, eh?
Potentially, but... because remember, Saren is a tier 2 god, according to that. So there would be some reason to want to attack that area. But we can talk about that later if any questions come up. So thank you for summarizing your favorite session there. That would probably have been my favorite session if I was there as well. So... of the J-Mods that you met, which ones were your favorite?
I only really met one.
Okay, who?
Mod MMG.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yep, the CEO.
All right, and you did have a chance to ask him my question, which...
I did.
And that question was, is RuneScape moving towards a more pull-type method, as is with old school? And the answer was?
Yes. He sees it happening. He sees it happening where that players are going to have sort of more of a say as to what kind of content's going to come out, and there's going to be more opportunities for players to submit their content. Like, there's going to be this, like, the kind of contest that came out with the Birthright of the Dwarves, where players were able to submit their character designs and monster designs or whatever. And they're going to be doing a little bit more of that. Because, again, they want it to be a year of the player. They want players to have a bit more of a say as to what kind of content is going to come out to kind of appease them, because there's lots of ranters out there.
Yeah, and, you know,
and
see...
they're trying to avoid that.
I'm still not sure how I feel about this, because, like, if... like, the prestige system, I think, was excellent, and that was shot down by the players. And as you said, Jagex liked it as well. So, I mean, the thing I'm most concerned about is just having the game run by the players, and whether or not the current player base will make the right decisions for the future player base, that sort of thing. But we'll cross that bridge.
More frequent, but at the same time, they're not gonna completely make him player-based. Like, there's still going to be lots of content that's completely on Jagex's idea.
All right. Well, that's fine then. All right. So just speeding things up a bit. So what kind of goodies did you manage to bring home, or what kind of things did you manage to buy?
Let's see. In the bag, we initially got a code for the RuneFest cape. So I right away put that onto my character. And there's also an area where if you add your name to like a brick wall or whatever, they give you another code for a title. So I inputted that one as well.
All right.
Inside the bag was also a little bit of art. I got design art for Moya and Kirill Zetzeroth. I got a soundtrack for the orchestral stuff that they were making.
Ooh, that's nice.
Like all the free-to-play. Yeah, that's awesome. And I'll send it to you one time if you want, so you can download it onto your computer. What else did we get? I got a couple of T-shirts. They had a small store there, just basically selling T-shirts and hoodies and just art and stuff like that. It was actually quite small, but nevertheless, there's still good stuff. Would have liked to have some cups there, though.
Yeah, that would have been nice. That's my favorite
thing. Yeah, I got a couple. As well. Yeah, I got a couple of shirts there, so that was nice. What else? So there's one thing. The actual bag that you got was actually like a, it was almost like a laptop bag. It had like that sleeve in the middle there you could put your laptop in, and it had the RuneFest logo on top of it. So like it was not like those paper, those small paper bags that you get and you just discard. This was actually a legitimately good bag.
Well, that's
like they
that's
didn't
nice.
Scrunch that's, all the other.
That bag
totally
is
worth
probably
it.
Worth the same amount that you paid for your ticket. So I mean, it's nice that they
pretty
do
much
that.
Yeah.
All right. Any other highlights of the bag?
What else? That's actually about it. That's actually
all right,
about
then.
It. There's a water bottle in it.
Well,
gotta have the water bottle. I mean, it's thirsty business. You know, you have to stay hydrated. You have to enjoy it.
Okay, cool. So
and that was also good for filling it up with stuff. Like again, going around, there's activities and stuff you did, and you collected a bunch of stuff. Again, like there's some rewards here and there that you could add to your bag, your swag bag, as it is. So just something nice to carry around.
All right. Well, in that case, let's move on to questions. What is audio question from that other guy?
I don't know. Huh? You played two audio questions earlier on, so you only have like notes for one of them. So
yeah, there's only two of them.
Yeah, so why is there only...
Yeah, so I'm going to play the first audio question from 101 Duck 1.
All right. Let's see, you only have notes for one guy.
Hey, hosts, 101 Duck 1 with a couple questions. First question is for Alex. While at RuneFest, did you get to meet any famous players like Silent Core, Regicidal, James and Simon from RuneShark, Darden, etc.? Also, if you met any J-Mods, who would you say was your favorite? Now for everyone, of all the potential updates, which one excites you the most for RuneScape in 2014? Well, thanks for the show, guys. Have a great week.
Cool. All right. Did I meet any famous players there? No.
Dang.
I did not, actually. I didn't.
All right.
Well, no, the majority of players, they don't openly go around saying, "Hi, I am famous player. Who are you?" They don't actually say that. So I had no idea who was who. There are a couple of guys who kind of openly expressed themselves, and there's a few guys who were in costume and stuff, but nobody really gave me any names to go off of. And I was walking around with a t-shirt that had Alex 43 in big giant letters, and so even there, I didn't really get anything. So
was there anyone dressed up in,
really,
in farming attire?
There was, actually. There was a guy who was dressed up so much like your character that I was completely taken by surprise. I'm like, wait a second, is that? No, that's not. That was Mike for a second there. I'm like, okay, so Mike's over there and he's dressed up as Shane. That would have been awesome.
That's scary.
That would have been creepy. But yeah, he was dressed up in the full farming attire. He had the skill cape and everything. Except it was a herblore skill cape, not a farming one.
Ah, too bad.
But he still had the hat, and that was really cool. All
right. Favorite J-Mod?
Again, I only met one, and that was MMG, so if I have to give it a favorite, I'll say MMG was a very nice guy. We chatted for a bit, and I don't know, he's really nice. Not sure if it was sort of the treatment where you pay $99, everybody has to be friendly, or else you're not going to hear the end of it, but I mean, again, this is the CEO, and he was chatting with him, and he was very open to interview and chatting and stuff, and he was a really nice guy.
Good. So, what update
excites you the most,
Alex? If you're
listening to this, MMG, I appreciate your answers. Say again?
What update excites you the most, Alex?
It's hard to pick now. There's so many updates. I am personally looking forward to the Elven Quest.
Me too.
The Elven Quest and the Armadale Quest, the Avian Sea Quest. Because you know me, I like quests.
I'm looking forward to the Elven Quest. I'm looking forward to finishing the fight.
I'm also looking forward to another small favor if they ever decide to do
that.
But there's
no,
no
please,
that.
No.
No.
However, and you might like this, they actually had a one small favor quest at the RuneFest where you actually had to talk with the guys who were dressed up, like the Ents and the Blue Dragon and stuff. You actually had to go around and you had to do one small favor for all of them.
Oh, boy.
So I thought that was quite cool. So hopefully that's a show of things to come. I really hope they do another one.
All
Don't care
right.
what you guys say, it is fun. Those are fun, fun quests.
So you're the Elven
I had a
quest
good time.
Too, there, Trekkie.
Elven and the AVNC quest, yeah. Looking forward to new quests because quests tell story and I love story.
Trekkie.
Yes, I'm looking forward to Elven quest too.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to say the same thing as well, because, I mean, that was the first quest storyline that we played way back when. It's the oldest storyline in RuneScape. That thing just...
And also
that,
the world has a hugest question. Twist.
Started with, like, Plague City, right?
Yeah, it just right. needs to wrap up. And, I mean, it's just been so long. It's almost like a myth, you know? It's like we'll be living in a mythical land whenever this quest does come out. So just the fact that it's on the radar, that's enough for me. Yeah. I'm also interested in the Adventure Skill and the Zaros Quest, probably more so the Zaros Quest. Not so much the Adventure Skill, because I actually predicted that. So
we both did.
Yeah. High five.
I'm excited to see what we can do to Zaros. Like, if you're going to be creating Zaros' body, basically, I wonder if it's going to affect his personality as well. Like, you're going to make Zaros into your own god. That would be kind of cool.
Actually, you know, to be honest, you want my opinion on which god should die?
Who?
Sarah Doman should be the one to fall.
Why?
Hear me out.
I think he can be redeemed. I personally think he can sort of be redeemed. Like, you have to really give it to him. You have to completely humble him, and you have to steal his crown. But yeah, I think he could be redeemed.
No,
so why should he
because...
die?
Why? Because I want the world to worship me. And the only way to do that is to crush someone who's totally evil. And second I do that, everyone loves me. I create the Bible. All right, everyone worships me from now on. There is no other god but J1, J2, J3.
All right, that works.
I can imagine what you're. I can imagine what the chants are going to sound like. Oh, J1, J2, J3.
Boom, beefy.
All right. Well, thank
worry.
You.
Don't worry,
thank
Shane.
You. Yeah.
I'm making you one of my disciples.
Oh.
The Trichorian chant. The Trichorian chant. All
right. Thank you, 101F1, for that question. Next one's now from Marumska.
Hello, Shane, Timbu, Tricky, and Alex. How you doing? Marumski. Alex, did you get the chance to play RuneScape without lag at RuneFest? And also, how was England? Was it raining or sunny first time in 100 years? And how was your experience in England? Since I have never been a place, granted, I'd speak the language all my life, it's a little intriguing, you know? Did you think RuneFest was enough for just one day this year, this time around? Granted, it was called RuneFest, Alex. Was there any cross-promotion from Jagex itself, itself promoting their other games? That's all, folks. I'll talk to you next time. Marumska out.
Alrighty. So let's see. First question. Did I get to play RuneScape without lag? The answer is yes. They had this big giant room with a whole bunch of computers down there, which most of the time were actually filled up with people, but they were very powerful computers and good strong high definition screens, and they had these crazy gaming mice that had like a million buttons on them.
Hey, I have one of those.
Yeah, and so they like every single computer had them. They had like, oh boy, it had to be like 100 or some computers. But yeah, they were very good computers. I got to play RuneScape at full graphics without lag or anything like that.
Running,
got to see
Were they running the HTML5 client or the Java client?
They ran the Java client, actually. They just All opened right. up in Internet Explorer and they ran the Java client. They probably could have run the HTML client, but I didn't want to try it because I was just too involved in RuneScape. And again, there's just so much stuff to do. I don't want to waste any time doing anything redundant.
All right. And speaking of playing RS without lag, tell us what you played.
What I played? Like, what do you mean by what I played?
The Barrows update.
Oh, that. Oh, the Rise of the Six. Ooh. All right. In a nutshell, it starts off, we log in as, I guess, JMod characters, just called RuneFest 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. There was four computers, so four of us for the minigame. Each computer was filled up. What we did was the JMods uses code that gave us our choice in armor. Like we can choose tank, melee, tank, or tank ranged, or power, melee, power, etc. So it's like six types, tank, melee, a tank and power for melee, ranged, and magic. We picked those, and we were given the armor, full food, best potion, basically the best you can possibly get. Overload potions, flasks, and super restore flasks. You had a pack yak filled with rocktail soup and a full inventory of that as well. It's like the best stuff possible, basically. And so four of us, we all grabbed that stuff. One person hosted the event where we jumped down the well next to the Baros, and the rest of us did that too. We ran in, and there was a couple of doors down there that were basically identical to the doors that you have to pass through to get to the Dagonoth Kings, where two people have to stand for the doors to open. Except all four of us had to stand there. We all jumped in. We all did that. And once that happened, we all entered the force field. Then we all entered the arena. And when all four players were ready, we activated the portal, and that started the event, which basically spawned the six Baros brothers, and we duked it out with them. They had 50,000 health, and they were tough.
Were you at all successful?
I almost killed Torag at one point, but no. They were difficult because, well, the first couple times you don't even know what's going on because you don't know everyone's special attacks. You didn't know Arim does this thing where he holds his arms out and creates a big series of flames. You didn't know Guthan did this thing where he spun around with his spear and did like 3,000 damage every second. And I think Darok, if anything, he actually sucks up your health and heals himself with it. Torag does this lightning thing, which fills up like half the stage. And Kharil just snipes you with these big giant bombs that when they explode, 7,000 damage. Doesn't matter what you're wearing.
Okay.
So it was easy to one-hit die. Like even if you were a tank, it was so easy to die. And here was the worst part. If one side fell, all the brothers got powered up and they all traversed to the other side.
So then the other side pretty much fell as well, right?
So the other side was screwed. In the state of screwed, yep.
All right.
So the whole point was that it was sort of a competition where each side was trying to kill as many of the Baros brothers as possible, but at the same time it was collaborative in that you all had to stay alive and work together in order to face off against them. So that was really cool.
Well, we'll learn more about that next week when that comes out. So
also, hopefully they're weaker because, I mean, again, the characters that we had were full everything, as powerful as they possibly could get, and we still got owned. So hopefully they're a little bit weaker. They get a bit nerfed during the actual update because otherwise, good luck.
All right. So
yeah,
next
it was
one.
Fun. It was fun.
How was England?
It was a little bit warmer than Canada, I'll give it that. A lot more humid. It was not sunny. A little bit rainy here and there, but most of the time it was overcast. But it was still quite nice. Like, again, the atmosphere was nice, and the people were all right. Didn't get mugged or anything like that. guys at the hostel, one of the Runefest guys at the hostel, got the bag stolen, so...
Ooh, that's not good. What about
the
sights?
Guy just
did you see any interesting sights? Like, did you go to Westminster? Did you see where the royal family lives or anything like that?
Let's see. I went to the Tower of London. I went to the National Museum. I went to the National Art Gallery. I went out to the London Eye, the big giant Ferris wheel.
Oh, yeah.
Went to Sea Life. I went to the Wax Museum. Where else did I go? Saw the Crown Jewels. Those were nice.
All right. So it does seem like you experienced enough of London to be there. Was Runefest enough for one day?
At the same time, there's still a lot of stuff that I can view next time I'm there. Like if I decide to go to Runefest next year, I will try to make it a two-week event instead of a one-week event, and then I'll spend some more time doing whatever.
Was Runefest long enough at one day?
No. No, 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 it wasn't. Again, so much stuff to do, and there's like all those conferences and stuff like that. It was impossible to do everything. I missed a lot of stuff. I missed a lot of opportunities. I wish they would have gone for like 3 days, because then I would have had enough time to do everything and see everything. Because, I mean, you had the main convention, you had the mini convention. They just went on at the exact same time, so it was impossible to... You had to be either one or the other. And there's so much stuff happening between them. And, of course, everything in between. Like, you had you can play RuneScape. You can play RuneScape. You have those activities and stuff that you had to do, and there's like all this other crazy stuff. There's even like a clan meeting point or a community meeting point where you and a bunch of other guys could hang out. That's actually basically the one room I never really entered, was the community place. And I guess that's where you were supposed to meet the famous players, as they all gather in there and then do some sales. But I didn't actually enter it because, well, for some reason, it seemed like almost like a private room. Like it wasn't, didn't match the rest of the place. Like it was all mostly a theme behind it. But then you look inside this place and it's like all kind of hippie and stuff. You got beanbag chairs here and there, and it was, and these very simple tables. And so I thought maybe what that was all about was clans and fan sites and stuff, they bring in all their own stuff and then they set up in there or something. So I don't know, I was just too afraid. But now I know what that was all about, so next year I'll hopefully be a little bit more open.
All right, and were there promotion for any other Jagex games there?
There was not. No. There was no advertisement for Stellar Dawn. There was no...
That thing got canned.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah.
Mod MNG did mention the Transformers game and how that was keeping them occupied, but other than that, there is really no mention of any other games of them. Though they did mention that they were kind of thinking of branching RuneScape into these smaller, I guess, divisions per se, like similar to you know that one strategy, I can't forget what its name was, that one strategy game which had RuneScape characters and stuff that, like, you basically created units and King Black Dragon was like the strongest of them all and stuff.
Arcanist?
You remember that one? No, not Arcanist.
The Void Knight thingy?
Yeah, that one. Was...
The mini version of chess or Conquest?
Oh, the mini version like of StarCraft.
Yeah, they were thinking of doing something like that with RuneScape. Like they were going to sort of create sort of their own little experiments based off of the main game, and you can use your character in these.
Hey, what if we made a mod for StarCraft with RuneScape stuff?
That would be cool. Can you do it? Can you create those three models and stuff? And can you?
I don't know. I'd be breaking their copyright, but that'd be an interesting thing for them to do. Anyways, thank you for the questions, you two, on that. We're going to move on to tech news right now. But first, if you are interested in sending in audio questions like these guys did, you just send in an audio question to questions@rsbnb.com. You can just attach a file, send it into the mailbox, or you can leave us a voicemail on Skype if that's easier. Just send it to the username rsbnbupdate, or you can phone them into our Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632. All right.
And please remember, when you are sending in your audio questions, please remember to speak as clearly and concisely as possible and try to limit the number of jokes you add to it to 3, because Shane hates jokes.
That is true.
All right, so tech news. Twitter's IPO.
Twitter's IPO.
IPO. The initial public IPO offering for Twitter. Its first day closing price up 73%. Impressive market cap of $24.48 billion.
And this is all in advertising fees.
Well, no, this is stock market.
That's still all advertising fee.
Right. What's the price of each share right now?
Well, it started off at $26 a share, and then on Thursday it went up to $45 a share. Currently they're not trading now since we're on the weekend, but let me just check what it was at. It's at $41 and after trading. So it's still up after starting off at $26. So it's not doing what Facebook did when that was first released, where it started off high and then just tanked. But it peaked at around $50 a share, so that's pretty amazing for Twitter, wouldn't you say?
It is awesome, yeah.
I'm wondering, do you guys think that this is Twitter's next step into kind of as a real world advertising platform?
Probably. I mean, it is a step, but is it necessary? Well,
because
I'd say maybe.
I mean,
it's not quite as intense as Facebook, but they do.
If you think about it, what happens?
Sort of need that boost.
What you can do with it is you take Twitter, and you put it on TVs and whatnot, and that can become an ad revenue, as we kind of discussed a couple weeks ago with this. So it essentially, you use the tweets to target advertising, and that's Twitter's way of making money. So I guess this means the shareholders are happy with it.
Well, yeah, they just got $15 per share.
It's just amazing to see that something that started off so simple as saying what you had for breakfast is now worth this huge amount of money.
So every Twitter follower, every tweeter should get a share of that, shouldn't they?
No.
I think so. 5 cents for telling us what you had for breakfast.
Oh, boy.
I don't think so.
Oh, well, I'm not going to play with the stock market. That's a little bit too risky for me. All right.
Guys, if you play RuneScape and do merchanting, look at the stock market. You will get rich because it is very good for that.
Tell us about the Google barge there.
The what?
The Google barge.
It was a barge that floated into the Bay Area. And they did it when the Bay Bridge was being announced. It's the new Bay Bridge that we just spent the last 10 plus years building. And just announced finally first grand opening, and they were trying to sneak it in while they were doing all this, but it didn't work out because someone was trying to figure out what the heck it was.
What?
Yeah, there was this mysterious barge in San Francisco Bay.
So Google is building a boat.
No, they built the boat.
Oh, that's even worse.
They already made it, and
Are they building a boat? Why did they build a boat?
It depends on which conspiracy theory you're following.
So they're building a boat in secret.
Well, Shane, you want to go more? You know a bit more about this than I do.
Well,
Area 51. Google goes Area 51.
Well, essentially, what's happening is that
the aliens.
Is that this Google barge is going to be a traveling exhibition space, and it's going to be a place for Google to show off products and whatnot, apparently. So it's going to have sales, and it's going to start off in San Francisco. And the idea is it's going to be able to move across the entire West Coast. So that could mean all the way down to Los Angeles, all the way up to Seattle.
Google's RuneFest on a boat. All right.
Yeah, pretty much, I guess. If they wanted to do something, they could have this event there. And people were wondering what it was, because it was rather mysterious for something like that to just appear and be tagged as Google. They were wondering if it was going to be like a floating data center to combat actual pirates or something like that. So,
well, one theory was that, you know, in the Bay Area, we're known for the earthquakes, and we're supposed to be due for a big one soon. So the idea was if this was a data center, we put them all there, and if a giant earthquake does happen, and the infrastructure and all the data is all cracked, they're going to plug this thing in and be like, we're cool. Google's cool. Apple's screwed.
They got a boat. Where you got, Apple?
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, you don't feel an earthquake if you're at sea. The only thing you'd have to be worried about is a big tsunami. But
Or an iceberg.
Well, you don't have icebergs in that area.
Yeah, we're just known for the earthquakes.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so plans on you going out to drive and see this thing?
Not anytime soon. Even if I do, I would be the one driving, so I won't be able to really see it anyway. Because I'll be too busy paying attention to the road.
Alrighty.
Swim to it.
No, that place is freaking cold.
Oh, okay.
Alrighty. Next piece of tech news, based on, well, it's actually science, but it still counts. Based on research from Kepler and calculations, there are approximately 8.8 billion Earth-sized just-right planets in our galaxy.
Ooh.
8.8 billion potential Earths.
The idea is 1 in 5... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Finish up. I think the idea was that one in five stars is supposed to have a planet that can support breathable life.
Hmm.
That was the whole idea behind this, and so the idea is we should be able, if we ever manage interstellar space travel, that we could actually go colonize other planets without having to do massive terraforming or something.
That's exciting. Except it would be a very, very far ways away, wouldn't it?
You know, by the time we can, if we can actually master interstellar space travel, I don't think it would really matter. We'll just build transwarp conduits right on Earth and just transwarp slingshot things here and there.
Yeah. And
then again, that's assumed Earth is still here after all this.
And they say that the nearest one is about 70 trillion miles away, which is about 12 light years.
That's not too bad.
Well, I mean, considering the closest star is about 4 light years away, it's a moderate distance. I mean, but it's still very far. But it's not out there. It's not on the other side of the galaxy. So that's good.
Well, you just need to go 14 times faster than the speed of light, and you'll get there in a year.
Yeah, pretty much. But as we know, there's only one way of doing that. And, well, there's actually two ways of doing that. You can actually fold space, or you can condense space behind you and expand it in front of you. That'll make you travel faster than the speed of light, but both those require huge amounts of energy. So kind of not worth it at this time.
You have a bazillion stars. Go wild.
So, but of these, there's a percentage chance that some of them will support intelligent life or even life at all, and that is what we are actually supposedly looking for at this time. And then I think it would just be very interesting to even find a secondary Earth, even if we don't know there's life on it, wouldn't you guys say?
Oops. That would be kind of cool. Like a fresh planet, a whole fresh new planet.
Yeah, and I mean,
fresh screw over.
And that's something that the explorer part of me would really like to do, would be part of a colonization force. I don't know if you, I know you watch the show Terra Nova, but I don't know, Alex, if you've ever heard of it.
I have not.
Yeah, well, it was basically colonizing the Earth 50 million years in the past, and that was good fun. So that's the kind of thing I'd like to be a part of, but we'll see if we can find any Earth-like planets first.
Here's hoping.
All right, anything else on this?
Nope.
All righty then. Well, let's move on to other things. This month is the Herblore Skill of the Month. I'll give the rundown on this. So first up this month, we only got about 10 competitors in this one. And, well, let's just say that somebody Alex is related to did a huge ripple on the first day. Currently, Tim is in first place with 5.1 million experience gained, which he gained over about 2 days. And second place is JMAndy52 with 1.5 million experience gained. And in third place is SunsetFish with 176,000 experience gained. So, should be interesting to see what happens here with this skill of the month.
I want to know where Tim gets the time to do this stuff.
I talked to him about this, and it was pretty much all of last Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, have you seen him recently?
I have not.
Yeah, you might want to ask him about this.
Yeah. What have you been doing with your life? No, I'm kidding.
He's pulling a Tim. Anyways, should definitely be interesting to see how this one shakes out, so... somebody please, please try and at least pose a challenge to Tim so he has to try and gain XP for the rest of the month and not just sit still in first place. Because, you know, a competition that is over in the first 3 days really isn't that fun. So, come on, even if you're not in first or close to getting it, you can try and just hope that maybe he'll come in second. So, come on, everyone.
The winner of this month's skill of the month is the person who comes in third. Good luck.
Yeah, we'll have to definitely give an honorable mention to the second place one if the discrepancy stays this large between them. So, anyways, also this month we do have the Informer Roundup. Of all of last month's articles, we want to tell everyone, since you're here, what you actually wrote about.
Me?
Yeah, you.
What did I write about? I forgot what I wrote about.
Yeah, I forget what you wrote about as well. Whoopsies.
Oh, nice going. I write stuff, just like 15 minutes, then I'm like, okay, done, boom, okay. let's see.
I don't know what it was. I actually can't remember, which is very strange. Because oh, end of the line about Birthright of the Dwarves.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was talking about how quests end off, and they bring up all this build-up and stuff, and then they kind of botch the ending. I mean, the ending, the climax, that's like the most important part of the whole story, is that you want to make it go off with a bang. That's the part where we're waiting for. We want to see something wicked awesome and stuff. But this quest, the Birthright of the Dwarves, was a bit of a letdown. Like, there was so much stuff they could have done with it. They could have made this big, giant war going on. It could have had, like, 100,000 guys just fighting and stuff, and you have to kind of navigate through it, and they...
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you would get it right around, you get a disabled cannon and stuff. That was pretty epic, but there was a lot less going on that I hoped there would be.
No, it's just over. So, that's what Alex wrote about. But also, I'd like to drive everyone's attention.
I can understand that it kind of relates to the plot, and that basically Hridmer had pretty well given up, and he just wants to be left alone, but you can't leave him alone even for that, and so he goes crazy on you. But they could have done a little bit more with that.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'd like to draw everyone's attention to the Informer applications that we are actually hiring at least one writer, maybe more.
Again.
So
all of the writers.
Well, we're just looking for one or two. But if you're listening to this and you're interested in writing and you play RuneScape, have a look at the show notes at update.rsbnb.com, where you can find what the application consists of. Basically, it's an article of 750 words about something in RuneScape, the current version of RuneScape, and just provide some information to us. And if we like what you wrote, we'll bring you on and see what you can see what you can write for us. So we are actually looking for this because Zant left Informer. He decided that he didn't want to play RuneScape anymore, so he stepped down from Informer, and there we go. We're hiring for another writer or two. So if you're interested, just have a look at this application and send one in. We like to see everything that people can write. So even if you think you don't have a shot, just send something in. One article per month is all that's required, and that's that.
Sounds good.
All right.
Make it good, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, most of our applications we get are good. It's been very long since we've received one where we just had to dump it in the garbage.
Yeah, that's good. So go a while. Just make sure that you spell everything correct, okay? I mean, you're putting effort and time into this, so may as well make it awesome. All right, anyways, go ahead.
Achievements of the week. We only got one this week, and that is Tim with 99 Herblore on November 3rd. So congratulations to Tim.
Congratulations, Tim. I hate you. Kidding. kidding.
All righty. So pick of the week. Anyone have a pick?
I do indeed. There's a game coming up called Soma, S-O-M-A. That if you guys are aware of the Amnesia series, they made two games. They're creating a, as they call it, sort of like a whole new series in like a different universe, a different theme and stuff. And initially what they had done is they had like SomaSystems.com, where basically it was like a timer that after it reaches 100%, it shows what's going on. And it just showed a couple of videos as to this universe. But if you go to their website right now, which is www.somagame.com, somagame.com, you can see sort of the trailer for an upcoming game in the same sort of concept, the psychological horror kind of game of Amnesia. And this actually looks pretty exciting. Like some of my friends were talking about this game, and it looked to be almost pretty well like the exact same as the Amnesia series. And part of me was thinking, well, they're not going to have it out until 2015. So I think what they're showing right now is basically the general idea of it. They're going to probably do a lot more to it. But the consensus right now is that it's going to be just so similar to the Amnesia series. It's not going to be anything new or special, and so it might not be as hyped up to me. But still, keep an eye on it, because to me, it looks pretty exciting. And though I personally have not actually played the Amnesia series yet, this game has actually kind of attracted my attention. So yeah, SomaGame.com. Give it a try.
And this is coming out.
You might
when?
Like it. It's coming out in 2015. It's still sort of an early work in progress. If anything, it's still an experiment, but let me just go onto the site real quick right now. Just check it out for some more details. Yeah, they have a teaser trailer. You can check it out there.
Alrighty then. We will wait for that.
Coming to PC
to
and PS4 in 2015, it says. PC and PS4 in 2015. So hopefully it's good.
Alright. So, moving on from that, what have you been up to in RS, Alex?
What have I been up to? Well, just generic stuff, basically. Spending my School of Fortune, doing my player-owned ports, helping with the Lumbridge Rebuild-a-thon, just the simple stuff. I mean, again, even though I'm not level 99 everything, I'm not really aiming towards getting level 99 everything, although I would like to get my divination up a little bit, so I've been putting aside a little bit of time for that. Otherwise, I'm just enjoying myself. Just having fun with the game still. Surprisingly enough, after 12, 13 years of playing RuneScape, I still have fun playing the game.
That's excellent.
It's a sign of a good game.
Excellent.
How about you guys?
Ricky, you back?
Oh, Shane, you go first.
Oh, okay. Well, as for me this week, I got 85 divination.
Oh, you did? Nice.
Yeah, I got 85 divination, so I'm quite happy with that. Unknown if
congratulations,
I'll go...
I hate you.
If I go further at this point, I'm not sure yet. But currently... yesterday, I surprised myself on RS. I decided I was going to pick up a Royal Crossbow. So I picked up the pieces to it and attached them to the Coral Crossbow, as you do, and whatnot. And then I went to fight the Queen Black Dragon. Because for anyone who's picked up a Royal Crossbow, knows that to power it up, you need to fight the Queen Black Dragon. So basically, on my first run-through, I really surprised myself, and I killed the Queen Black Dragon with plenty of food and potions to spare. So that was really surprising. For anyone wondering, what I did is I just used Varax, super anti-fire, extreme attack strength defense, and brought a War Tortoise full of rocktail soup, and just melee the thing to death.
With Varax, like with the flail and everything? Really?
Yeah, it worked really well, actually. I was hitting up
mentally
upwards of 2,500 on my ultimates and sometimes on my thresholds, so that was good. And
I will give it a try sometime.
I got my Royal Crossbow, and I might do some summoning, but we'll see about that, because summoning's always been a skill that I wanted to train, but I never felt as though it was worth the investment into it. It's a skill that I like and that I would like to get 99 in. But with potentially having a summoning rework coming from next year, I'm not sure if now is the best time to train summoning given how expensive it is. So I'm kind of in a holding pattern on that. Might just do divination until the year's up and see where I end up with that. So that's what I've been
Although on the other hand, if they do a summoning update, it probably would be good to have a high level to get into it, because then you can do a lot more.
Well, I
it.
Already got 92.
Oh, yeah. So you're like halfway there.
Yeah.
All right.
What about you?
Fair enough.
Okay, I did sinkholes 4 times in 1 day, which is quite nice. I got a token for the Phoenix Lair, so I tried that out, and it's actually quite easy now. I just grabbed 2 Chaotic Rapiers and just destroyed everything. I was like, ooh, okay. Because everything's weak to stab.
Stab.
Go to hell. And what was the other thing? I got my divination up to 73, and now what Alex told me, I have to make myself get 90 construction and 90 hunter.
Oh, right. I got to do that as well.
And it's looks like I'll be get hunter up.
Butterflies. Hunter. Right, what's your hunter level currently?
Back to the 85, I think.
Do butterflies. That's the best way.
Really? We'll do the Jadinko stuff, get the outfit.
Oh, right. Jadinko's anyway. Are good too, but I don't know. I prefer the butterflies. The area is nicer, but we'll talk about that later.
right. Yeah.
All right. Well, that pretty much covers this episode of RSVP Update. Thank you for sharing your RuneScape session with us, everyone, and we will see you
next week.
Awesome. All right. Bye-bye. Bye, guys.
Take care, guys.